things you never hear many sermons on is using your imagination, engaging your sense of creativity. Why is that? Is it because it's not in the Bible? Or is it because, well, I don't know, it feels a bit too much like a motivational talk rather than a message from God? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Welcome again to A Different Perspective, as I'm joined by my very special guest, Dr. Barry Chant, to chat about your imagination. And do stay tuned, because at the end of today's message, I'm going to be telling you about a special booklet that I'd love to send you to help you live in a rich, dynamic relationship with Jesus. Been a very special week on the program this week, because we've been joined by Dr. Barry Chant, who's just released his latest book, Living in the Image of God. And in that book, he talks about something that's profoundly changed my life. Barry, if you haven't picked it up earlier this week on the program, was the principal of Tabor College, the Bible college that I attended, and he was one of my lecturers a good many years ago now. And he taught one of the compulsory foundational subjects in my ministry degree called creative living. Now, let me be honest here. Most of the students at the outset considered it a bit of a soft subject. It wasn't like Old Testament history or exegesis or one of those real theology subjects. It was about Christian living. So I guess I approached it with less than the rigor and the focus that I felt the other subjects demanded. But week after week, we'd go to lectures and we'd talk about living out our lives in the image of God, and in particular, the role of our imagination and creativity in all of that. Can I tell you something? I've been a Christian now for going on a couple of decades, going to church week after week, and I can honestly say in all that time, I've never heard anyone else teach on imagination and creativity. Barry, welcome again to the program today.
Thank you, Bernie.
Hey, why is that? Why don't we hear much teaching around imagination and creativity in our churches today?
I suppose because there's not enough creativity and imagination to do it.
That's a bit circular.
Well, a creative person would teach on it, wouldn't they? I'm sure there is teaching on it in different places.
Yeah. It's just not one of the main things you hear spoken about.
No, that's true. Yeah, well, I can't answer that question, but I can just all I can do is say, well, I think it's a very strong biblical theme.
Well, let me ask you, where do you get that from?
Well, from Genesis chapter 1, where God says, let us make human beings in our image. The image we have of God at that point is that he is the creator, because the previous verses of Genesis 1 tell us how God created the heavens and the earth.
Yeah.
And all the marvelous things within them. And you only have to stop and think about what's in creation. You know, the variety of animal life, of fauna, the variety of vegetation, and just the amazing flowers and trees and leaves and insects and everything.
Just as an aside, do you know how many species of beetles there are in the world? 360,000.
Really?
Now, if I'd have been God, I'd have made maybe one or two, maybe 10. 1,000 would have been over the top.
Yes.
360,000 species of beetles. Creative God.
It's extraordinary, isn't it? I mean, even birds, there are something like 30,000 varieties of birds and 9,000 varieties of bats. Extraordinary. And that's God's creativity. And some of the things, some of the creatures he created, when you look at them, if they were a lot bigger, they'd be terrifying.
Yeah.
And they're awe-inspiring. So look, God is a creator. He creates some marvelous stuff. And so if we are made in his image, then that means we have, to an extent, a creative power as well. Now God's creative power enables him to make things out of nothing. Well, we can't do that, but we can make things out of something. And so all the things he's given us, and humankind has done that. I mean, humanity has done that.
You can see that, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, just sitting here today using electronic equipment, that's all a result of somebody's imagination and creativity, which was a God-given ability. But I'm talking about it more in terms of just Christian living. Now I use examples in the book of things like a marriage that's become dull and boring. Take half an hour, sit down in a room with a pen and a paper and write down some ideas of how you could put life back in your marriage. And the problem is a lot of people don't even do that. I mean, it's such an obvious thing to do.
Why don't we use our imagination as much as we could? What's the matter with us?
Sin is part of it. That's partly that. Partly that we have had the edges being taken off, the kind of things we could do and could be. But I think we get preoccupied with life, we get preoccupied with responsibilities, and also nowadays, so much is done for us.
Mm.
So much entertainment, so many. Well, you have just got to go and buy stuff now if you want it. Whereas in previous generations, I guess if you wanted something, a lot of times you had to make it or you couldn't have it.
It's funny you should say that. I realised recently I love cooking. I love cooking. And I realised recently I wasn't cooking much. Yeah. And what we've been doing is buying pre-made stuff.
Yeah.
And I said, why are we doing this? It costs more money and I don't get to cook.
Yeah. That can be multiplied in many aspects of life.
Yeah.
My interest is more in the area of just how we can apply that creativity just to everyday life.
Mm.
how we can be creative. And so we should be asking God all the time for ideas. And see, one of the things the Bible talks about is God giving people dreams and visions.
Mm-hmm.
And in many ways, a dream is not just a result of what you have for dinner at night. I mean, often it is, but a dream from God is more than just that. It's a concept. It's an idea. It's a message from God, if you like. A vision is something like a kind of waking dream where God just drops something into your mind that you've never thought of before or haven't thought of sufficiently before. And you think, wow, that's something.
Where did that come from?
Yeah, yeah. But it comes from, especially if your heart is open to God. But even so, God sometimes does it anyway. I mean, plenty of stories in recent history of people in other countries who are not Christians to whom God has appeared in dreams of various kinds and has turned them to Christ. But again, for us, our need is to open our hearts and minds to God and allow Him to invite Him to do that.
Well, you talk in your book about commissioning your imagination.
Yeah.
Tell me about commissioning my imagination. It's a great term.
I'm glad you like it. Well, what it means is make up your mind to use your imagination. Don't let it sleep. You know, wake it up and get it active. Get it busy. Get it doing things. Because it's surprising. See, I mean, I'm a writer, and I've got to be careful I don't impose my standards on other people. And I write children's stories and short stories. And sometimes I can sit down at my desk and with nothing at all in my mind, and within 30 minutes I can have the outline for a story.
Mm.
Like just recently, I wrote 3 short stories in one day. And all I had for each of those stories was just an idea. But I sat down and started to scribble some notes, got on the computer. I had to go back over the stories and polish them up and everything. But if I hadn't decided to do it, those stories would not exist. So commissioning imagination means I'm going to sit down and just think and dream and write ideas down. And you don't use them all, but that gets the process going. And again, go back to the marriage illustration. Or maybe it's a quite different situation. Maybe you can't get on with your kids or your parents, or maybe there's a situation at work which is difficult, or maybe you're a manager and you're thinking, Lord, what can I do to solve this problem? And often if we would just take the time to ask God and decide to dream and to think, you'd be surprised what would come into our lives.
Just some creative solutions that straight out of left field.
Yeah, that's right. Particularly in areas of like overcoming temptation. Sometimes it's not just a matter of our own weakness. Sometimes we just haven't stopped to think about some practical things we might do to prevent the temptation.
Correct.
There are practical issues I wrote a book for young people once on called Straight Talk About Sex. I just said, if you want to keep yourself in marriage, then always be where you can be interrupted.
Yeah.
Now, it's a simple bit of advice, but it just means don't go and park your car in the back alley where it's black, dark, and no one's ever going to come. Park in a street where people are going to walk past all the time. Or if you're at home, don't lock yourself away in an upstairs attic, but sit in a lounge room. Just be somewhere where you can be interrupted. And that way, that in itself, well, if you care about things, will stop you going too far. Just use your imagination to think of some practical ways which you can deal with an issue like that.
I'm a bit worried about you. You're a pastor and a theologian. You're being very practical, Barry. It's just not right, is it?
Well, I just take the attitude, Bernie, if you can't do it or you can't be it, then we shouldn't talk about it.
Good on you.
We shouldn't preach about it.
Well, on that note, we're up for this week. That's it. We're out of time. But you're going to join me again next week. And anyone who's interested in getting hold of Barry's latest book, Living in the Image of God, the easiest way is go online, visit barrychant.com, and you'll be able to find it right there. We'll talk again next week, Barry.
Bye.
It's always that easy to overcome the battles in life, whether they're battles that we're fighting on the outside or battles from within. The enemy will always attack us at our weakest point, whether that happens to be in a situation or a relationship, or whether it's in the way we see ourselves and in our relationship with God. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet called The Sweet Taste of Victory. It's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you live in the victory that Jesus has already won for you on that cross and through the empty tomb. In fact, at the end of each chapter, there are some life application questions to help you receive and reflect on God's Word, and then apply what He's saying to you right into the realities of your life. To request your copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, christianityworks.com. You'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. Again, that web address is christianityworks.com. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again, same time Monday, with a different perspective.